Welcome back to Innovating Purpose Podcast. Today, I was really delighted and encouraged to interview Mr. and Mrs. Crozy, my childhood teachers. They blessed me with some insights. We reflected on lots of stories from sports to school to teaching kids about Jesus. And it was really encouraging to hear them. And now that they're retired and the school is gone, there's just a lot of things to remember. So I was really encouraged, and I hope you're blessed by episode 117. Have a great day.
So welcome back to my podcast here today. It's always a joy and a privilege to communicate with you all and give you life updates. And I want you to know that today is just full of joy for me because for the longest time, I've thought it would be so much fun to interview Mr. Crozy, my childhood teacher. He and his wife had a schoolhouse in New Berlin, Illinois, and really was a huge part of my growing up years from grades 2 through 8th grade. And as I'm joined by Mr. Crozy today, my hope is, and what I want to do, is I want to remind him of how much of a blessing he was in my life. But then I have a couple of questions because certainly I haven't seen the other side of the curtain. I knew Mr. Crozy as my teacher. I knew him as a godly man. But then, you know, life happened. I grew up, I moved away and got married and have some kids. And I haven't checked back in. So what's fun about this podcast for me is I can speak of people that have been encouragers, people that have prayed for me, people that have invested and shown the love of Jesus to me. And when I think of somebody that has done that, Mr. Crozy and Mrs. Crozy come up in my mind often. So I want to welcome you, Mr. Crozy, to the podcast today. Thank you for joining me.
Well, thank you, Keith. It's an honor and a privilege and a blessing.
Wonderful. Well, what I wanted to do to start off is, Mr. Crozy, could you give me just a however many minutes you think it would take to really just give a life update? What are you up to right now? What's going on in your life?
Well, we retired from school in 2011, and we stayed with the youth group, finishing 50 years in 17. And so we basically are still involved in church. I'm vice chairman, and Mrs. Crozy attends the LWML Mary Martha meetings, the Lutheran Women's Missionary League. And the pandemic kind of stopped my doing of Wednesday morning school chapels, but I did one recently, and I've got a couple more scheduled for this year. And we both turned 77 years old.
Oh, wow.
This year.
Great.
And I think you're turning 37.
That's correct. Yeah, wow, that's really impressive memory.
I have a book that has the birthdays of everybody.
Okay.
And those school yearbooks,
yeah,
were a great way to say, it's too hard to look in all of our yearbooks.
Yeah.
So I just put people by their class and their birthdays and those sort of things.
Sure. Yeah. Well, that
makes it easy.
That's so fun. And I wish we could see each other. We're just doing an audio conversation today, but I actually, I'm in the process of moving, and I opened up my yearbook box, and I found all 7 of the yearbooks that I had from my years there. So I was thumbing through that today and was getting a good smile thinking about this conversation.
And we looked through the 2001.
Yeah.
And it drew smiles on our faces also.
Oh, good. Good. Well, one of my first questions that I would love to hear your perspective on, and I think as a child, you know, as up into the middle school years, you just don't think to ask your teacher these things. And I doubt you probably had very many middle schoolers ever ask you, but when did you sense a calling into teaching? Or perhaps you didn't, and maybe it came your way, but would you use that phrase that you sensed a calling to teaching?
Yes, my home Lutheran school in Chicago, I had a man named Mr. Tinius, and my dad had also had him as a teacher. And then in third and fourth grade, I had Mr. Lang, and my dad had also had him as a teacher.
Oh, wow.
And I saw both of them as aged gentlemen. And Mr. Lang used to fall asleep during the school day. And the children were divided into two groups. One group said, good, he's sleeping, we can do whatever we want. And the other group, led by me, said, shh, let him sleep.
Right.
But I think from having people like that, I said, school is so much fun. Mm. And so important that I knew then that someday I would be a Lutheran school teacher.
Wow. What about Mrs. Crozier? When did she, do you recall her story enough to give a quick synopsis there of when she felt a calling?
Well, she's right here. She's going to go to another phone. Okay.
Okay, great.
But, I'm supposed to talk about something else.
Okay. That's fine. Well, let me go to another question, and she's welcome to join. That would be great, but she doesn't have to. How did you and Mrs. Crozier decide on or get hired by St. John's Lutheran School? When did that come about?
Okay. We both began college together. After my junior year, I intern taught. I had fifth grade in a fairly large Lutheran school in Grafton, Wisconsin.
Okay.
About 400 kids. And I was one of two fifth grade teachers. Hmm. Mrs. Crozier didn't do intern teaching, so she graduated a year before. And there was a call night, and we were assigned to St. John's New Berlin.
Oh, wow.
And we said New Berlin, because we had never heard of it.
Right.
And having grown up in the city of Chicago, small town living was quite unique for me.
For sure.
Mrs. Crozier is here on the phone, so.
Oh, great. Keith,
I am so honored to hear your voice and, you know, your laugh and your joy. And we've been looking forward to this ever since you called and said to Mr. Crozier you wanted to chit-chat with us.
Oh, good. Oh, Keith. It is so good to hear your voice as well, Mrs. Crozier. Thank you for jumping in.
And Keith, you know, I think I heard, you know, that you have driven by our house, you know. Don't you ever do that again. Make sure that you just pull right into the driveway and ring the doorbell.
Oh, okay. Wow. Yes.
When did I want to become a Lutheran school teacher?
Yes.
Well, I in high school, I was going to be an English teacher, and I was going to go to college. I had already been accepted to a college. And then I was going to do language. But then my pastor at home, small Lutheran church in Glen Beulah, Wisconsin, Pastor Mashke, he talked to me and he said, are you sure that you don't want to be a Lutheran school teacher? Hmm. And so I thought about that for a while, talked to my mom and dad. I have five sisters, okay, that we were all raised on the dairy farm in Wisconsin. Hmm. And we all kind of talked about this, and Marianne was going to go off to River Forest in Chicago and study to be a Lutheran school teacher. And wow. And of course, then the Lord knew that I had to be there so I could meet Mr. Crozier. And from there on, that's our love story, love to the Lord Jesus together. And And, you know, so it's all been good. And along that path, we met the Reeser family.
Oh, that's so fun. Well, and I haven't driven by your house recently. I have to confess, it was just going to school when I was a child. I live now in Denver, Colorado. So it's a little bit of a drive.
Yes, that is. Okay. Yeah. And keep this, and then I will let you do your interview with Mr. Sure. Cozy, and I'll be listening. But one of my treasured things, Keith, that you did show and tell in the downstairs classroom, and you brought a piece of yucca plant, okay? And you talked all about the yucca plant, and I'm sure I gave you an A+ for speech that day. And at the end of the day, Keith, you gave it to me. And that yucca plant still lives in my flower garden.
Oh, and, wow.
And so I just love to think of the Reeser family, okay?
Oh, beautiful. I love it. Thank you, Mrs. Crozy. I appreciate it. You're welcome to stay on.
I like the yucca plant too. Okay. I'm just listening now.
Okay.
Keith.
Sounds good. Well, Mr. Crozy, I'll point it back to you. This is a really problematic question because it's so hard to choose. But could you identify a few of your favorite elements from St. John's, your years there? Some of the things that stuck out to me would have been like sports or a specific subject that you might have taught, or maybe investing in seeing some kids that were struggling that then the light bulb went on. Were there any favorite elements that stand out to you? You don't have to use names. I know that, but.
You know, at Christmas time each year, I would have the class try to memorize Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20.
Yeah.
And we would I called it America's favorite game. And we would recite by one word at a time. Mm-hmm. And it came to pass in those days that there were not a decree. And that was always fun because I was at a wedding recently with a couple of former students from the later years. And we stood there in reception and were reciting the Christmas story one word at a time.
Oh, wow.
And it always was special to go to the senior citizens. We would do a little Christmas program for them.
Yeah.
And most of those people were older then and they're gone now.
Sure.
But I remember our St. John's kids giving those people hugs and telling them how they love them and how much they love Jesus. And at our school Christmas festival on that morning, everybody could, if someone wanted to sing a solo, what if they didn't have a good voice? It didn't make any difference. And that still brings great joy.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, we did something actually in college. The kid who roomed next door to me, he got up to give we had a class in public speaking, and he got up to talk and he fainted. And then he couldn't get up anymore and he failed the class. And so he took it again. And he fainted again.
Oh, no.
And so I said, when I'm a teacher, I'm going to have something called speech.
Yeah.
And even if kids don't think they can do it, and I won't mention any names, but there were some who didn't think they could do it.
Right.
But they could.
Mm-hmm.
And by the grace of the Lord Jesus, they could overcome that. And we did a lot of fun things. We did, you know, those lip syncs, and we did a comedy day, and just having people stand up and talk.
Right.
Which was exciting.
Oh, I'm sure you remember like the radio DJ shows that you had to. You probably had to endure some pretty brutal ones because I remember sometimes you'd say, oh, because they would play a song in the midst of their thing, and you'd say, you can't just play the song. If this is for you to talk, you gotta, you can't just keep playing other sound bites up here. So it just made me laugh to think of those things. But a lot of those kids kind of found their voice in effect because of speech. And that was really fun to see those things develop too.
Oh yeah. Josh Beal is on the radio every afternoon.
Yep. He sure is. That's awesome. Was Jason Crane on for
Lauren
a while?
Goss was on the radio for a while, and Jason Crane was, Tony yeah. Boston was.
Wow.
And
oh, fun.
I pray that I had a small part
them
finding something that they enjoyed.
Well, you know, my brother Chad really didn't like speech. I'm sure you remember him. But he...
Like I said, I'm not going to mention your name.
I don't think I was quite as terrified, but Chad now, have you kept up with Chad? Do you know his story a little bit?
Well, I think he's in Springfield, is he not?
He is, yeah. He's a pastor. He has two roles where he does connection pastoral ministry and also visitation. So he's serving in Springfield. So it's kind of come full circle. And he was serving as a missionary in Spain for quite a while too. So that right. was really, really great. So.
And being a missionary anywhere mm-hmm. is a pretty tricky thing these days.
Right.
And I do have before I looked in the yearbook, the Keith Reeser story of the final basketball game of the year 2000. We're at St. John's in Beardstown.
Oh,
and you take a shot at the buzzer and you get laid out by a kid trying to stop you.
Right.
And I'm thinking, poor Keith is never going to walk again. He is in pain. And I think the referee looked at our bench and saw a bunch of little kids and said, well, Beardstown's going to win this one. Miraculously, young Keith Reeser gets up, goes to the line, shooting two, and he swishes them both.
Oh, that was a good memory. Oh, I love
it. And we win 31-30.
Wow. That was
a good way to end the season.
That brings back all kinds of memories. I think that was did we have a JV team? I think I was probably fifth grade. So I was little, maybe fifth or sixth, but I think I went into the locker room and then I was, cause the older kids were going to play next. And I think I was on the bench for the older team. Anyway, that's a good
one. And
memory.
I was amazed when I looked at how many points you scored as a Saint.
Oh, did I have a lot? I don't remember those numbers.
I know exactly, Keith Reeser.
Oh, wow.
It's in the 500s, okay?
Wow.
Wow. So how many times, you and your family and Mrs. Crosby would jump up and say, yay, 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 for Keith, And he just kept going. I was amazed by the yearbook that it was all the way up to 500, but what joy. Yeah.
Oh, that's so fun. Yeah, I had...
Now, that included any junior varsity or varsity points
okay.
that you scored.
Yeah, great. Well, you wouldn't know this about me, but did you know that I went on to play college ball?
Yes, I did, up in Chicago, right?
Well, that was Chad. I went to a real small Christian school out in western Kansas called Barkley. And so I played 4 years there, and they actually didn't have enough guys, so I played 4 years of soccer as well. So.
You're amazing.
I asked Mr. Crosby just last night, was Keith real athletic? And he said, oh, yeah, he was.
I said he could probably even play soccer if he wanted to.
Well, my goal in college and soccer, they put me on defense because they said Keith doesn't know. He hasn't played before because I hadn't since I was like 7 years old. And they put me on defense and if it came to me, they'd say, kick it out quick because they didn't want us to get scored on. But by my senior year, my goal was I had scored a couple goals, which was really awesome and fun. But my senior year, I said, coach, I would love to get a diving header because I always got headers in the games because I'm so much taller. and they did a corner kick and they kicked it across and I dove and got my head on it and I got a diving header. So that was a huge fun score for me. And then my best achievement in college basketball, I had some really fun games where I scored. I was number 31 in college, or 30, excuse me. But I played, my goal was to get 30 points. And one game I did get 30 points, but probably the best one was that they threw the ball into me and I was a shooting guard. I was a little bit taller for a shooting guard in college, but they threw the ball into me and they weren't guarding me because I hadn't shot yet that half. And I caught the ball at the opposite side free throw line and there was 2 seconds left and I threw it like a normal shot. I didn't even throw it like a baseball. I threw it, just heaved it as hard as I could. And it was nothing but net from the other free throw line. So that was one of those moments that was amazing. And it was a team we weren't supposed to beat. It put us up at halftime. So.
And you never forget those moments.
That's right. They're so fun. Well,
oh yes.
Well, I know you guys have shared a bit and feel free to expound some more, but are there other recent memories that you can just pick on me? You don't have to pick on Vance or Chad. And I know you didn't know my sister because she didn't go, but just feel free to pick on me.
We knew that she went to Hardee's every morning and made biscuits.
But are
and
there?
We remember also that the Reesers, it was a happy day when I think it was your mom's mom would make donuts and then Reesers would bring donuts to school.
Oh, yeah. Those were great. They were potato donuts. She loved making those.
Yep. See, we remember lots of stuff.
Oh, good. Good. Well,
that happens, Keith, because all the love that the Reesers gave away, then it would just come back. Okay. And in the Lord's kingdom, what a blessing that, you know, you are just, you know, a youth director, a minister, and a sharer of the gospel.
Amen. That's yeah. Good. Thank you. Well, could you share in this moment, are there any more specifically spiritual moments that took place that you have where a child understood Jesus for the first time, or perhaps you got to introduce them to Jesus? Or did you have any moments where a child accepted Jesus into their heart? Do you have any of those moments that you could share?
Mrs. Cozy, why don't you talk? Because you have having the little ones.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Mr. Crosley, do you have a special person that you're thinking of that will jog my memory of sharing Jesus?
Well, I was thinking of Heather, who lived with the Oswalds.
Oh, yes. Okay. You know, Keith, that it just all happened in the classroom, you know, that the Holy Spirit was just blessing us and we were all visiting and we were all talking and then all of a sudden, you know, you just knew that the kids were loving the Lord Jesus and they were saved, you know, by the grace of God.
Awesome.
And because we oftentimes sang on Fridays for religion class.
Right.
It was always so joyful to sing those songs. I'm gonna sing, sing, sing. I'm gonna shout, shout, shout. I'm gonna sing, I'm gonna shout. Christ is risen. Or whatever words we put in with it.
Yeah.
And it was always kind of fun because it goes on. The classes, I forget whether they were 06, we had six girls, and they would sit together in New Berlin High School cafeteria, and they would sing the prayer before meals. And so on Fridays, they would sing, God is great, God is good, and we thank him for our food. We're going to thank him in the morning, noon, and night. We're going to thank our God. He's out of sight. Amen, shh, amen, shh. Amen. And so they would just sing that out loud in the high school cafeteria. Yeah. And I think those are, you know, some special moments that along with special moments, there's also the sadness of kids who went to church, went to Sunday school, went to a Lutheran grade school, and now they don't show up very often.
Right. Yeah, my generation and those a little bit older and a little bit younger than me, we're not the best church attendees. I would say that for sure.
And sometimes, you know, I had my heart valve replaced in 06.
Uh-huh.
My one hip replaced in 07. My other hip replaced in 08. Hmm. And I don't know if you remember Mike Brown and Rob Brown.
Oh, yeah, I do.
And Mike is he drives a semi.
Okay.
And right after each of those surgeries, he would call at least once a month.
Wow.
Just to find out how I was doing.
Hmm.
And he still does that when he's on the road. He'll call to check in, and those are good times to share the love of Jesus with someone.
Yes. Well, I remember you really had a big impact in their life. I mean, I was a kid, so I didn't know much of the details, but I could kind of tell that they had a tougher childhood. So I think to hear that come full circle, and then to hear that they were wanting to check in, and you could offer some, even just listen to them or just encourage them, offer Jesus to them, that's beautiful. So it still continues to this day. How cool is that?
And we attended both of their weddings, or were invited to both of their weddings.
Uh-huh.
Only attended one of them.
Okay.
But, you know, it's always special to have those moments.
Right.
And there's also the sadness of former students who pass away.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Billy Davis was in a car accident with the train.
Yes.
But Kevin Becker lost his life in a car accident.
Okay.
And some of the older kids, because the first eighth grade that I had, those kids were born in 56.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So they're going to be, you know, they're in their mid to going on their late 60s.
Wow.
And, some of those kids have just passed away.
Yeah.
Wow. Whatever physical ailments they may have had. Mm-hmm. And so we live each day by the grace of God. Mm. And we live it to its fullest, mm-hmm. walking with Jesus.
That's right. That's great. Well, I remember you used to, I don't know how it came about, it, whether it was a teaching lesson or something that, you said, but there was it might have been a writing assignment. You asked us, if you got $1 million, what would you do with it? And I don't know if you remember asking that, but for some reason that stood out to me as I was recollecting my time there. And I think I wrote something to the effect of, if I had $1 million, I'd buy a gym for St. John's so that we wouldn't have to play on the blacktop anymore.
I do remember that. But it was great. The best blacktop in the county.
Well, I made
and
a lot
Keith,
of...
Now that they've taken down the school,
yeah.
the blacktop still remains, okay?
Oh, wow.
And they also, when they took down the school, they left the flagpole with the American flag and the Christian flag just fluttering and flowing in the air of New Berlin. And, you know, when you go by that block and you see, you know, that, and you see kids, you know, shooting buckets on the blacktop and swing. They left the swing set. They can swing. And it just, you know, that's our mission outreach for the community.
Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, some of the chapels that I did, the one that we called the Grandma Chapel,
it doesn't ring a bell. Maybe when you describe it, I'll remember.
Yeah. Well, the great grandson lives with his grandmother because his parents couldn't take care of him, and his grandparents didn't want to. And so she does everything possible. Anyway, the kid goes to school, and he steals things. And grandma tells him, and he cries and promises he'll never do it again. Then she says, but if you do, there will be punishment. And nothing happens, and then it does. His teacher calls, and he took something that belonged to someone else. And when he comes home from school, grandma says, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you, but hold out your hand. And she takes her darning needle, and he closes his eyes, and he promises and promises and cries and says, grandma, I'll never do it again. Please, no, no. And he waits. And he's sure he's going to get stuck by her darning needle. And he opens his eyes, and grandma has stuck the darning needle through her own hand. Just as Jesus died on the cross for you and for me.
That's right. That's right.
And that's awesome. I did this because St. John's Church celebrated 150 years.
Oh, wow.
2 years ago, and I did I talked with God while playing catch with him.
Yeah.
Where I would throw the softball up and catch it and talk to him while we were doing it. And I tried to reconstruct some of the things. I mean, 150 years. You know, I asked God, were there more Cardinal or Cup fans back when the church started? And he says, oh, there was no baseball back then.
Yeah.
And then I started, because I took German in high school and college, I knew a little bit. And so I started the Lord's Prayer, Vater unser, der du bist im Himmel. And so I pretended like I wasn't saying it, someone else was. And I said, hey, Lord, that's German, isn't it? And he says, yeah. And I said, could you understand that? And God says, I could understand it. And I asked, how many languages, Lord, can you understand? All of them? Are you real?
Yeah.
And so some of those memories that you say, oh, yeah, those were good memories.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, I was going to suggest that I remembered the playing catch chapel. I think you did another one. I don't know if you did it every year. I know you did the catch one often, and I remember the grandma one now. But there was one where you brought, I think it was a penny, a nickel, dime, quarter, and maybe a dollar. I don't know how much further you went, because it starts to get into a little bit of money. But you offered if anybody wanted the penny, they could have it, and all the kids' hands went up. And then you gave the penny, and then I think after the nickel, then some of the kids stopped putting their hands up because they're like, this is going to keep increasing. but I just remember that. And that, I think, were you talking about the servants that were out in the field and getting different pay? Was that the lesson, or am I mistaken?
Oh, it could have been. Yes.
Okay.
Where they get paid for those who showed up late, got the full amount of money.
Right.
And those who worked all day weren't very happy. But
I remember, I think Shane Mathis and I, we were banking that you had, I think you brought up to a $5 bill, and we were hoping for 10, so we didn't want to raise our hands at 5. But you said, I think you said 5 was the end, and everybody was like, oh.
And by the way, in the yearbook, there's a photo of you and Shane running cross country that you would run so you could cross the line together.
Oh, wow. Well, that didn't last much longer than that, because Shane by far was the better runner than I was. I was okay. I didn't really like cross country, to be honest. I'd much rather have a basketball or something, a purpose for my running. That was what I used to call it.
Oh, that's wonderful. And this has been wonderful.
Good.
And Cozies pray that your ministry will continue to flourish.
Yes.
And your wife and your kids, that God's blessings be upon them and all the research.
Mr. Crosby, I just want to tell Keith one other thing before we hang up. Is that okay, Keith?
Definitely.
You know, this whole thing, Keith, with you calling and emailing Mr. Crosby, Mr. Crosby's going through some heart difficulties right now.
Okay.
And blockages in his heart. And the cardiologist, a pulmonary cardiologist, and then his regular main cardiologist, they're researching all of the heart to see what they can do to strengthen it. Okay, they're finding out how strong his heart is. And so the Lord led you to call the Crosbys and to uplift Mr. Crosby and me, and we can't praise the Lord enough for that. So if you will pray for Mr. Crosby, and Ron, do you have Keith's phone number now? And
yes, I do.
All right, we'll let you know. They'll make decisions in the next month, I think. Okay,
great.
But okay, we hope it's all going to be that his heart can be strong again.
Absolutely. Would it be, I would be honored to pray for you right now, even on this, that this platform is a great opportunity to do that, to pray for you and to let others know. Is that okay to pray right now?
That would be wonderful, Keith. Thank you so much.
All right. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful for sweet conversations, and we're grateful for friendships. And even as we recall, it just feels like time has gone backwards a few years so that we could remember back to just a few years ago when I was under the tutelage of the Crosbys. I thank you for their love for you, Jesus. I thank you for their faithful investment in so many, and it even continues on today. And specifically right now, as I hear this request for Mr. Crosby's heart, I know that he's had, a few years ago, he had the incidents that took place, but there's some new stuff on the horizon. So Lord, we ask that you would bless the doctors that are trying to investigate, the cardiologists as they look deeper into his chest and into his heart, the valves and the pumps and all the different things that are going on in there. Lord, you designed his heart. You know him very well. You love Mr. Crosby and Mrs. Crosby. And it's hard when we're dealing with health concerns because bodies begin to fail and they don't work like they used to. So for these moments, I pray for more opportunities that Mr. Crosby and Mrs. Crosby can be a blessing to others. And I know that they already have been. But in this moment, would you draw near to them, Jesus, as James writes, that they would draw near to you and that you would draw near to them. And that as they draw near to you, Jesus, your Holy Spirit would fill them up with courage and fill them up with hope. Remind them that you are faithful in this generation and the next, and remind them that their labor was not in vain. The service and the lives that they've lived are for your glory. And we are so grateful for opportunities that you give both them and us to minister. And we never know if we have tomorrow or not, but I'm so grateful that we had today. So thank you, Lord, for the Crosbys. We ask your special blessing on their life, and we thank you for this time we could have together. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Keith, thank you so, so much from deep, deep down in our heart.
Oh,
we have
welcome.
The love of Jesus.
Wonderful. Well, I love you guys. You've been a special part of my life, and it's so good to hear your voices and hear how you're doing today, too.
Thank you, Keith.
Love you, Keith.
Yeah, love you guys too. Talk to you.